turn to Psalms chapter 78. All right, Psalms chapter 78. We're going to read verses 12 through 20. If you could, please stand in honor of God's word. Psalms chapter 78, verses 12 through 20. Marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt and the land of Zion. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through, and he made the waters to stand as a heap. In the daytime also he led them with a cloud, and all the night with the light of fire. He clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink as out of the great depths. He brought streams also out of the rock and caused the waters to run down like rivers, and they sinned yet the more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. And they tempted God in their hearts by asking meat for their lusts. Yea, they spake against God. They said, "Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Behold, he smote the rock, and the waters gushed out, and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people?" Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you guide my thoughts and you guide my words. And dear Heavenly Father, we need to hear from you. Dear Heavenly Father, I'm wasting their time if they're just hearing from me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that you gave this sermon to me to preach to our church. And I pray your will reign supreme in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. And story goes that there was a man that was walking along a cliff, and he accidentally got too close. And he fell over and he grabbed a branch. And the thing about it is that in horror, he kind of looked down and he saw the canyon wall, and he was still quite a few hundred feet up in the air yet. And anyways, he started to freak out a little bit and kind of looking at his circumstances. So he began to yell for help, hoping that somebody passing by would hear him and lower a rope. "Help, help! Is anybody up there?" And he kept on crying and for some time. And finally, somebody said, "Can you hear me?" "Yes, I can hear you." "Are you all right?" "Yes, but who are you and where are you?" "I'm the Lord. I'm everywhere." "The Lord? You mean God?" "That's me." And obviously, this is a fictitious story. And it's an illustration that gets the point. And he said, "That's me. God, please help me. I promise, if you get me down from here, I'll stop sinning. I'll be a really good person. I'll serve you for the rest of my life. Easy on the promises. Let's just get you down, and then we can talk. Now, here's what I want you to do. Listen carefully." "Okay. Whatever you say, Lord, just tell me what to do." He said, "Listen, let go of the branch." "What?" "I said, let go of the branch. Just trust me. Let go." There was a long silence. Finally, he yells, "Help, help! Is anyone else up there?" And, I'll be honest with you. Too many times, we as Christians were like that. When it doesn't make sense, when we can't formulate it in our head, a lot of times we look for an alternative. And this is kind of what I'm going to preach on tonight, or this morning. I'm going to preach on it tonight, but I'm really going to tell you what it is now. No, just joking. But so the thing about it is that I want you to look back in Psalms chapter 78, and I want to focus on several words here. In verse 19, they said, "Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Behold, he smote," and he goes on, "can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people?" And too many times, we as Christians, we ask, "Can God?" And so we're going to answer that question this morning. And the thing about it is we see the condition of these people. We see in verse chapter 20, "Behold, he smote the rock, and the waters gushed out, and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide the flesh for his people?" And then in verse 41, the Bible says, "Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel." Because of their lack of faith, they limited the very God of heaven. And so the truth of the matter is that here is a people who they call themselves by God's name. And they were the children of Israel, who should have trusted God without reservation, but it seemed they were oblivious to the power that was right in front of them. And they were asking, by a lack of faith, can God? You know, the thing about it is that's the question of the world today is, can God? And, you know, the truth of the matter is that many people ask that question that have not tested God. And the truth of the matter is, you know what? God can. God will. But the truth of the matter is, you know what? We've got to trust in Him. And when things don't seem like they make sense, when things don't seem like God's working them out, we still need to trust in God. You know, the thing about it is God is seldom early, but always on time. God is seldom early, but always on time. You know, the thing about it is as we study this passage, and we see that they were forgetful. And verse 20, the Bible says, "Behold, he smote the rock, that waters gushed out, and streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people?" Well, the thing about it is if he can flow water from a rock, why wouldn't he be able to provide bread? Why wouldn't he? And then continuing on, "Therefore the Lord heard this and was wroth, and so fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger came up against them, because they believed not in God and trusted not in his salvation. Though he had commanded the clouds from above and opened the doors of heaven, he had rained down manna from them to eat, and had given them the corn of heaven." And I'll be honest with you, I'm not totally sure what manna is. We studied manna in the Bible Institute a little bit. And but listen, just think about that for a while. So water from a rock, manna from heaven. And you know, the Bible talks about how they made it into different things. It wasn't just like a dew. It was actually a substance. And you know what? We haven't seen manna since then, and I don't think we ever will. This is something that God created just for the children of Israel, just for provision. And anyways, we continue on, and verse 25, "Man did eat angels' food and sent them meat to the fill. And he caused the east winds to blow into heaven, and by his power he brought the south wind. He rained flesh also upon them as dust, and feathered fowls like the sand of the sea." And the Bible goes on and on and talks about how good God was to them. And the truth of the matter is that they had forgot. And they were forgetful. And the Bible says in John chapter 20 and verse 27, "Not faithless, but believing." The truth of the matter is that, you know what? We need to be careful about forgetting what God has done for us. And you know, I'll be honest with you. When we fall into the category that we start to forget what God has done, that's when we get to the point where we have a lack of faith. You know the song, "Count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done." You know, the thing about it is that, I'll be honest with you, this is why we've got to be careful about being prayerless. When's the last time we prayed and expected an answer? You know, I'll be honest with you, a long time ago, a pastor had challenged me, keep a prayer list so that you can write on there all your answers to prayer. And I'll be honest with you, and the benefit to that is to be able to look back and see, wow, look at all the answers to prayer that God has given me. The truth of the matter is you don't get answers to prayer if you're not praying. And you know what? If you just kind of casually pray, we talked about in Sunday school, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And the fervent prayer. And so the thing about it is if we're not fervently praying, how are we supposed to get an answer? And so anyways, that was just a little tidbit on the side. And also, they were foolish. Who asked the question, can God? And it's just like this. You know, Brother Plymel, he's had some children. And the thing about it is I can just see, you know, I don't know if this has happened. I'm sure it has. At one point in time, somebody walking up to one of his children, walking up to Mr. Plymel, "Daddy, can you open this jar on this pickle jar? Mama was having trouble. Can I watch this?" And you know, the thing about it is you know, different things that Mr. Plymel was good at. I can just see his kids walking up, "Hey, Daddy, can you?" And he's like, "Of course I can." And I know several times my kids have asked me, "Can you work on a car and make this thing run?" "Well, of course I can." You know, whether or not you can, that's, you know. But anyways, the truth of the matter is that, listen, how silly is it to ask God if he can do anything? I mean, the very God of heaven, so back up a little bit. Think of all he's done. Okay, go back all the way to creation. He spoke and the world comes into existence. That's pretty powerful. And then he takes and he makes man in his own image. from the dust of the ground. And then he takes something very confusing and he makes woman. And just joking. And all the women are going to kill me after church. But I'm going to be lynched. And guys, I need you to stick up for me. But the truth of the matter is, then he makes woman out of Adam's rib. And you know what? How spectacular. I'll be honest with you. Woman is one of the most beautiful creatures, especially my woman, is one of the most beautiful creatures in all the world. But you know what? Listen, I tell you what, that's spectacular. And you just think about all that God did, separating the light from the darkness and the water from the land and all that God did just in creation. And then you see the fact that, you know what, the very God of heaven came down from heaven, died on a cross for our sins. You know what, I'll be honest with you. It's kind of a silly question to ask, can God? You know what? Can God, after they seen manna pour from heaven, water from a rock, after they were taken from Egypt, just think about all the plagues. You know, Pastor had studied with the Sunday school the plagues of Egypt, and the thing about it is how Pharaoh's sorcerers just couldn't keep up with the God of heaven. Imagine that, and imagine all the plagues. Here's the thing: imagine asking that question after seeing Pharaoh rebel from God, and God saying, "All right. The death angel is going to come and take the firstborn of every child in the land that doesn't have the blood applied to the doorpost." And then afterwards we ask, can God? I tell you what, they were forgetful and they were foolish. So the thing about it is just, you know what, listen guys, God can. And I want to go through several characteristics of God that prove that God can. Psalms chapter 78, and we're going to read verses 5 through 7. The Bible says, "For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which commanded our fathers, and they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come which know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might see the hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandment." You know what? This is an admonition that you know what? We need to show the next generation that God can. But listen, the promises of God. You know, turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, this is going to get really exciting in a moment, although it is really exciting now. But turn your Bible, see Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18. All right, you ready for this? All right, Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18. "That by two immutable things, in which was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us." You know what? Here's the thing is, you know, we sing the song, "Nothing is impossible." But you know what? It is impossible for God to lie. You know what? That's exciting because you know what? If we claim the promises of God, you know what? That's an exciting truth. It is impossible for God to lie. Now, the thing about it is sometimes as a parent, I'll tell my children something that I wish I could take back. And you know what? If you clean your room, I'll give you 4 pieces of candy. And I think afterwards, you know what? They probably shouldn't have had 4 pieces of candy before dinner. But anyways, so you try and come up with, well, you didn't clean that, and you didn't clean that. You only get 2. And no, just joking. But the thing about it is that, listen, it's impossible for God to lie. And so the thing about it is when we go through and we claim the promises of God, you know what? We know it's a sure thing. When God promises that he'll never leave us nor forsake us, hey, that he's going to show, like we learned in Sunday school, that he's going to show us the paths and that we should take and that he'll go with us on that path. Then the thing about it is, you know what? That's not a lie. God will do what he promises us. So the thing about it is that you can rest assured on his promises. Titus chapter 1 and verse 2, we see a similar promise and the fact that God cannot lie. I've got to turn there myself. This is a Bible that the pages stick together on me. So Titus chapter 1 and verse 2, the Bible says, "In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. You know what? God can't lie. That's an exciting truth. And so we can rest assured on his promises. You know what? Also, when we turn back to Proverbs chapter 78, and we see in verse 4, I got to turn there myself. Psalms chapter 78, and turning to verse 4, the Bible says, we will not hide them from their children, showing the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he had done. And then also in verse 12, the Bible says, marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt and the fields of Zoan. You know, the thing about it is all we have to do is look back at his performance and realize that God is good. The other day I was talking with Pastor Jake, I think his last name is Manon, maybe. And anyways, he was coming over to help with the Institute website. We were working on that for getting the online courses going. But you know what? We got to talking about how good God has been in the past. And he was telling stories, and I was telling stories. And you know what? We just got excited about how good God is and how powerful he is. And you know what? We walked away from that conversation not having a doubt in our mind that God wasn't going to work in the future. Because we focused on his performance in the past. You know, I told him a story about how when we knew that God was calling us to move out of Michigan, and we knew that God wanted us to sell our house, we put our house on the market, and 3 months later, God sold our house. And you know what? I like to drive back in the area and see all the houses that were for sale then that are still for sale now, many years later. And why? Because God sold our house. And we think about all the times where you know what? As God led us through the ministry, I saw different times where God has provided, and times where maybe we just were new into the area, and God had not allowed us to have a job quite yet. And you know what? God had provided all the way through. And you know what? It was exciting to tell. We told about stories in Bible college about how you know what? As a Bible student, you're trying to work and you're trying to study and you're trying to go through college, and a lot of times you don't have money for everything. And you know, I'll be honest with you, it's good for a Bible student to kind of be short on money, because the truth of the matter is during that time, God allowed those times of need to show me that he can provide. I'll be honest with you, there was times where I was thinking, you know what, if I don't get the money by Friday, today is Wednesday, if I don't get the money by Friday, I'm going to be financially withdrawn from school. But you know what always happened? Usually Friday morning, somehow, some way, that bill got paid. And the truth of the matter is you know what? That showed me by his performance in the past that, you know what? He can do it in the future. And we just look at this church. I tell you what, you know what? I hear the stories about how the church started, and it was meeting in the basement. And then next thing you know, they expanded this and expanded that. Look what we have now. We have a rich past. We have a rich heritage. You know what? We have a rich heritage with bus routes and soul winning and ministries and missions and all these things that God has done in the past. You know what? We know that God can do it again in the future. And the truth of the matter is his performance. And also, and look in Psalms chapter 4, or Psalms chapter 78 and verse 4. For we cannot hide them from their children, showing to the generations to come the praises of the Lord and his strength. I'll be honest with you, throughout history, we see the strength of the Lord. You know, the thing about it is that all throughout the nation of Israel, God showed his strength. Just look at the fact that you know, I get a kick out of some people that don't believe the Bible, and they say, you know what? Well, Pharaoh, it wasn't parting of the water very deep. It was just a little stream, and you know what? It was probably about 4 inches, and you know what? So parting 4 inches of water wasn't all that spectacular for the children of Israel. My answer to them is this. Well, then a bigger miracle occurred because an entire Pharaoh's army drowned in 4 inches of water. And but anyways, the truth of the matter is that listen, guys, you know what? God is very powerful. Whether you believe it was 4 inches or whether you believe it was 10 feet, it doesn't matter. God drowned the entire army of Pharaoh. And so the thing about it is that, you know what? My God is powerful. And he's still powerful today. and turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. All throughout, you know, the awesome part about it is you can't read scripture very long without seeing the power of God and without seeing that he is able. And, you know, we like to sing with the teenagers because it drives a point home. He's able, he's able, I know he's able, I know my Lord is able to carry me through. And Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, the Bible says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. You know, the thing about it is God's not a powerless God. You know, I'm so glad that we serve, I'm so glad that we serve a risen Savior, a live Savior. You know, some people serve Buddha, and you know what? I'll be honest with you, Buddha is dead in the ground. And the thing about it is he's no more powerful than that microphone stand over there. The thing about it is you know what? I serve a risen Savior. You know, just like the song, I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is able. You know, hey, listen, he's able. Why? Because you know what? We see all throughout scripture. We see, you know what? If we allow God to work in our lives, we'll know that he's able and he can. And so the thing about it is that, you know what? All power is given unto him. And, go turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. Matthew, Mark, Luke chapter 1 and verse 37. Luke chapter 1 and, or, yes, Luke chapter 1 and verse 37. The Bible says, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. That's a pretty powerful statement. You know, a lot of times teenagers like to make absolute statements. Well, everybody has a Polly Pocket. And here's the thing is, that means that Aaron has a Polly Pocket. And anyways, you know what? That's a very disturbing thought. And but anyways, the truth of the matter is, you know what? Teenagers like to exaggerate and say, you know what? Well, everybody's doing this and so, or everybody's in, and you know, my parents always hated it. They'd always say, well, if everybody jumped off a cliff, would you follow them? And you know, and then you're tempted to give a smart aleck comment, but you know you shouldn't. And but anyways, the thing about it is that, listen, when God says nothing is impossible, he means nothing. And you know what? It's exciting. And just think about salvation. Think about this for a minute. You know, when I was younger, I attended a neighborhood Bible time. And you know what? I was convicted of my sin, and I realized that, you know what? I was going to die and split hell wide open if I didn't get saved. And you know what? I didn't like that thought. I didn't like the thought of going to hell. And you know what? To make a long story short, in West Richland, Washington, I bowed down in front of a couch, in front of the picture window, outlook in the street. I remember it like it was yesterday. You know what? I accepted Christ. You know what? From then on, my destination changed. I never had to worry about hell. You know what? I never have to worry about experiencing the horribleness of hell. I don't have to worry about the flames. I don't have to worry about the worms. I don't have to worry about the torment. I don't have to worry about all these things. You know what? Hey, listen, it's exciting because you know what? One day I can walk on streets of gold. One day I can see my Savior face to face. One day I can see loved ones that are up in heaven. One day I'll have a mansion up in heaven. I tell you what, just that fact right there says, you know what? God is powerful, that he could take a sinner such as I. You know what? If I got what I deserved, I'd be on my way to hell. But you know what? Because of the power, the mercy, and the grace of God, you know what? I'm on my way to heaven. I tell you what, even if God's power only was limited to salvation, what an incredibly powerful God. But you know what? Listen, God's power is not limited to salvation. God's power exceeds and extends into the Christian life. We can have victory over sin. We can have victory over those sinful habits. We can have victory over a destroyed life. You know what? We can walk with the very God of heaven. We can have the very God of heaven care about our every need. We can have the very God of heaven guide our path through life. And you know what? The truth of the matter is God has a will and a way for each one of us. And you know what? He's very powerful to work it out. You say, well, you know what? I don't know. Can God work in my life? Can God take my life and use it for great things? Let me tell you, from his promises, from his power, from his past, you know what? Yes, he can. And you know what? It's so exciting. God is a powerful God. You know, the challenge today is that, you know what? We must have confidence in Him. Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11 and verse 22. The Bible says, "And Jesus said unto them, have faith in God." Have faith in God. Psalms chapter 62 and verse 8. Have faith in God. Psalms chapter 62 and verse 8. The Bible says, the Bible says, "The earth shook and the heavens also dropped at the presence of God. Even Sinai itself was moved at the presence of God, the God of Israel." You know what? Hey, listen. My God is a powerful God. My God is able. In John chapter 14, we can go through many, many verses. I'm just going to list a few. John chapter 14 and verse 1. You know what? He is able. He is able, and He's a very powerful God. We need to have confidence in Him. "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." You know what? Let not your heart be troubled. Hey, you know what? Believe also in Me. Truth of the matter is, you know what? You know why most of us get troubled? You know why most of us get discouraged? You know why most of us get depressed? It's because we don't believe in God as much as we should. You know, I'll be honest with you. We should have confidence in God. God can. Think about Daniel in the lion's den. And, the thing about it is that I shouldn't say lion's den because Pastor Bucklew and the Institute said it wasn't the lion's den. It was a den of lions. And the thing about it is that, you know, just think about that for a minute. Here's some hungry lions, and they weren't as powerful as God was. It didn't matter how hungry they were. The Bible says God shut their mouths. And they weren't able to touch Daniel. You know what? If that's our God, why should we be afraid? Why should we be discouraged? Why should we be depressed? Think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I can just see old Nebuchadnezzar up there. He's like, go ahead and throw them in the furnace. I haven't seen any toasty critters in a while. And you know what? Go ahead and throw them in the furnace. And how dare they bow down to me? And you know what? He throws Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And next thing you know, he looks into the furnace and he says, hey, who's the fourth man? And you know what? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego come strutting out of that furnace. Hey, let me tell you who the fourth man is. It's the Son of God. You know what? Hey, listen, He's powerful. I don't know what they were singing, but you know what? If I had to guess, and if it was nowadays, I'd be singing, "He's able, He's able. I know He's able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through." Hey, listen, think about the widow of Zarephath. You know what? Stood, and she's getting ready to eat the last meal, and she's whispering to herself, "Can God?" 3 years later, she's still eating from the same meal. You know what? I wonder what she was singing. I wonder what praises she was singing. Just think about the disciples on the ship as the waves and the winds were getting, you know what? As they were getting tossed around in the ship. And you know what? They were starting to think, can God? And then, you know, it's like, the song, "Here comes Jesus, see Him walking on the water." You know what? I tell you what. And then all of a sudden they realize He can. And you know what? All throughout Scripture, we see He is able. He can. He can. You know what? There's no need to be depressed. There's no need to be discouraged. You know what? Have faith in the all-powerful One, the very God of heaven. You know what? He is able. Just remember, call to past. Call to mind what He's done in the past. Remember salvation. Remember what He was called. What He called us out of. And the truth of the matter is you know what? Remember, and the thing about it is there's no way for us to understand what we would have been without God. But I believe that if we were to just have a glimpse of what we would have been, we'd be a lot more grateful. Because the truth of the matter is you know what? God's the only one that can take a life and make him worth and just make a life just truly, God can use a person sold out to him. You know, there's a story, I don't know how true it is. Old Uncle Oscar, he took his first plane ride. Knowing that he was somewhat apprehensive about it, his friends were eager to ask him how it went. At the first opportunity, they asked him if he enjoyed the flight. "Well," commented Uncle Oscar, "it wasn't as bad as I thought it might be, but I tell you this, I never put my whole weight down." And the thing about it is that I probably shouldn't mention this. Anytime we went on family vacations, we load up the back of the station wagon, and it was all loaded down and everything. And anytime we pulled out of the park, or anytime we pulled out of the driveway or whatnot, and kind of dipped down, you know, the back would kind of scrape. And my dad would always tell my sisters, "Hey, raise up a little bit so we don't scrape the bottom." And the thing about it is, you know what? It doesn't matter if you raise up or not. It doesn't matter if you think you're not putting all your weight in him. But the thing about it is you know what? Hey, listen. We need to just sit down and relax. I was at work Friday, and they had America's Funniest Home Videos on there. And I seen this preacher, and I was walking by, and I kind of, you know, stopped to think, because it looked like they were watching a preaching video. And he was preaching about faith, and he's like, "Just like I believe this," and it was kind of a similar setup to this, and they had a bench up there. And he's like, "Just like I believe that this bench will hold me," and he gets up on the bench, and the thing falls down the platform, and he goes falling on his behind. But the thing about it is that, you know what? Hey, listen. We need to have faith in God. God's unmovable. You know what? We need to have faith in him. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25, the Bible says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what shall ye eat or what shall ye drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much more better than they?" The truth of the matter is, you know what? God can feed us, God can clothe us a lot better than we can. You know what? We need to have faith. And the thing about it is that we need to have faith to obey. You know, there's a song we sing in the children's church. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. How much do we trust him? I'll be honest with you, one of the big litmus tests is how much do we obey him. And the thing about it is you know what? I'll be honest with you. When it comes down to tithe, you know what? It doesn't make sense that if you can't pay your bills, that, you know what? God says to tithe first, but well, wait a minute, where's the money going to come from? Well, here's the thing is, you worry about God's business, got to worry about your own business. And I'm not saying squander your money, but at the same point in time, you know, we need to be obedient to God. And you know what's interesting is, you put God to the test, and he always comes, he's always faithful. He always comes through. And the truth of the matter is, you know what, we need to have faith to obey. Just like that man hanging from the cliff, and God says, "Let go. Is there anybody else up there?" You know, and we as Christians, you know what? Even though we've seen everything in the past, we say, "Is anybody else up there?" But the truth of the matter is we need to just have faith in God. And I'll never forget, my youth pastor had a tail dragger airplane. I don't remember what it was, but it had a little wheel in the back, and you could walk up to it, and it was a frame with a material stretched over it, and you could go thump, thump, and thump it like a drum. And you think, you know what, if a bird hit that, it's going to tear the fabric and everything's flying off and you can crash to your death. And, you know, it's just going to be horrible. But anyways, the thing about it is he said, "Oh, it'll be fine. Let's go up in the air." So I'll be honest with you, Pastor Griffin was about my size and the bench was about that big, it seemed. And so anyways, we're all in this little tail dragger airplane scrunched up, and then he takes and he's moving the stick to make sure it has free movement. And he moves it to the left and hits my knee to the left, and he moves it to the right and hits my knee to the right. He's like, "Oh, it'll be good." I'm like, that is not building confidence in me in this airplane. He tests all the airplanes and the gizmos out and stuff, and then we taxi down the runway, and I'm thinking, it's already too late to back out now. And anyways, you know what? He well, we got it off the ground, and then he was a trickster, and he kind of reminds me a little bit like Ron. And you know what? After we got in the air, he takes and he drops the stick, you know, and the whole plane just drops, and you know what? You're clutching onto everything you can, and praying and getting right with God, and saying, you know, and if I would have known last rites, I probably would have prayed him. And but the thing about it is that listen, you know, the truth of the matter is that that airplane took us up. But the truth of the matter is that, you know what? That airplane, I don't understand everything about that airplane. Or how airplanes fly. I know that, you know, aerodynamics and the wind flowing over the wing and the wind flowing under the wing, you know, causes lift and all this other stuff. I don't always understand everything about a motor and those engines on a plane. But what I do understand is this. When I got in that plane, we flew and we landed. I'll be honest with you, we don't always have to have a perfect understanding on how God is going to work things out. We don't always have to have perfect understanding on how God can work it out. We just need to realize that, you know what, God can work it out and he will work it out. We've got to have faith, resting faith in Jesus Christ. And the truth of the matter is that, you know what, We need to realize that God can. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you just help us to realize this truth that God can, and I pray that you just help us to place our faith in Jesus Christ, in Jesus' name.